Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We are going to get an update this morning on what is going on with Micah Ecumenical Ministries, and a lot is going on. Megan Cotter is here this morning. Megan, it's great to have you here. Good morning. Good
morning.
One thing we need to jump right into right away is the weather and this time of year. We often forget at winter time. There's the cold weather shelter, and there's such an emphasis, and people think about that. I think some of the hot, humid weather can be just as dangerous.
Yeah, I think we're all kind of feeling the threat of the heat right now,
and it wears you out.
You're telling me, but it's interesting, like, that people don't realize that there's a lot more people that actually die that are homeless that are on the street during hot weather, and it's usually the drastic change in temperature between daytime and nighttime and how your body has a hard time adjusting to it that usually does it, but there's a lot more reported heat deaths during the year among people who are unhoused than there are people who die during cold weather. And so it is a really important thing to pay attention to this time of year. While we're all trying to stay cool in our houses, there are lots of people that are really struggling to make it in the hot weather as well.
Micah has put up several times, or frequently, about just asking people, drop water by.
Yeah, so the two things that we're really telling people right now is water is a really important thing. And we can run through it pretty quickly this time of year. And the other thing is, you know, we do care for 160 people that are in housing. And they're in a variety of different units, and not all of them have central AC. And those simple air conditioning units that are that you can buy at Walmart or whatever, they don't always last long. And so we're constantly replacing air conditioning units in the homes of people who don't have central AC and don't have the means to purchase one. So we do have a fundraiser up right now where folks can make donations, about $150 to buy an AC unit. We'll also take them if people would prefer to buy them at Walmart and drop them off.
Okay.
Walmart or store of choice, of course. But those are the two things that we're really encouraging people that they can do to help right now. And we are opening. We have been watching the temperatures, and we will keep our doors open a little longer during the day when it's super hot to get people to dinner, or if it's a weekend, we've opened up some spaces for people to come in and stay cool as well.
Yeah, and I know that real hot stretch a week or so ago, you extended that and did that, but the cooling units, because not only is water needed, but like you say, if you're in a house with no air conditioning, that is dangerous.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I think there's a lot of people in our community that struggle with that. I mean, our lens is specifically on people who have been unhoused that we have housed. But that is a huge need that people have in order to make it.
Keep your eye on elderly neighbors or just your neighbors, wherever you live. And especially if you see that they do have... If you know that they don't have air conditioning, keep an eye on that. But especially if you can consistently drop off cases of water downtown to the Micah Center, that would be a huge help.
Yeah.
And I see, especially this time of year, the Micah Center. When I drive by there on Princess Anne Street sometimes, there's a lot of people milling around, and I just think whether it's this time of year or just that there's a need out there, the people are coming to Micah for all kinds of needs.
Yeah, well, and you know, the demand, of course, when it's really hot outside, we have showers, and that's a place that people can come, and a lot of folks are there, you know, waiting on a shower, waiting, you know, trying to stay cool and whatnot. So
keep Micah in mind.
Yes.
And it's as far as donations, and even if you can, regular donations would be good. If you want to just start giving monthly to mica.
Very much so. There are lots of different ways that we use that. And it's not just to help people survive the elements. It's to help folks to get off the street and back into housing and accomplish the different things that allow them to stay housed.
MicaFredericksburg.org is the website you can go to find out more about how to get involved with Mica. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Jeremiah community, because that is going to be it's been something you've been working on for a long time. Mm-hmm. And we see some movement here, and there's some big news to talk about, and there will be over the next few weeks. Megan Cotter here. Quick break. We'll be back. Got News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Megan Cotter in this morning with Mica and MicaFredericksburg.org if you want to find out more information. Also go to Facebook to find out about all the good things that Mica is doing and the ways that you can get involved with Mica. So, Jeremiah community, that is going to be what we're going to start hearing about. And I'll let you explain, because I remember when you first brought this idea up, I don't know how many, has it been 5 or 6 years ago now?
The reason I know that it was 6 years ago that we started talking about this before it even had a name,
yeah,
is that I was 8 months pregnant with my six-year-old as of last week. So that's why I know it's been 6 years that this idea has been formulating and moving towards the moment that we're at now, where we're actually have land where we've applied for rezoning and are about to go to the Planning Commission for the first public hearing to ask them to rezone the property in order to build this vision.
So Jeremiah community is just what it means. It's a community you're trying to build.
Yeah, so Jeremiah community is what I've called a supportive neighborhood. So supportive housing is not a new thing. A lot of places across the country, supportive housing looks like an apartment building, and which is totally fine. And one of our partners in building Jeremiah community is Virginia Supportive Housing, and they build supportive housing as apartment buildings around the state of Virginia. We have been intrigued by a newer movement of more of the neighborhood-based style of supportive housing, where people live in small, sometimes tiny, but small single-family home style units that are about anywhere from 200 to 400 square feet. And it's more of a neighborhood setting where people can sit on their front porch, have their own space, minimize shared walls when needed, but it can also be in community when they want to be, but also have their own space when they want that as well. And we became intrigued with models like you've seen in Austin, Texas. There's one out of Missouri that's duplicated in some other parts of the country, where basically you take kind of the apartment size unit and make it detached and horizontal, as opposed to stacking it on top of each other. And so Jeremiah community will actually include more of the traditional 80-unit apartment building built by Virginia Supportive Housing, but also 109 small single-family homes and duplexes that will be built by Mica, with a lot of other built-in support, such as a health center, a community center, a workforce center, things like that, to help support the life of the community that is living there, and to help them to have a flourishing life.
I remember when this first started, and you went and visited a lot of these places.
I've spent
too,
a lot
I remember.
Of time. Yeah, I've spent a lot of time, particularly the Community First Village in Austin. Alan Graham has written a great book that I think is a really easy read that I'd throw out to people that want to get a little more insight into who something like this is serving and what it can mean. It's called Welcome Homeless. Another model that's a little different out of Springfield, Missouri, called Eden Village is one that we've spent a lot of time in. And I want to be really clear, like people forget that you can still build a small single family house and it's not a tiny home. HUD defines a small single-family house as 400 square feet, and a lot of people can't imagine that anymore because we build much bigger.
Yeah.
These days, and so, but tiny homes are anything less than 400 square feet, and that's important because there's a lot of places that are pushing out tiny homes. And they look like sheds and they look like campgrounds, whatever. That is not what we're talking about. We're talking about a neighborhood that looks like any other neighborhood that you may have seen, but with small single family homes.
That explains, because when we have talked about this, and I think my initial thought was, like you said, the tiny, tiny homes. Mm. And I remember early on you said that.
Yeah.
These aren't going to be... Yeah. The shed kind of where you get as much in a small space.
Yeah.
They're going to be smaller, but they're not going to be the
tiny homes.
They're
going to look like anybody's house, apartment, whatnot. They're just small.
Yeah. Which is good. And that's one of the things, Megan, that you have worked from day one on to make sure that when we deal with the homeless, we're not setting them aside and doing something different.
Yeah. Well, and it's a reality that a lot of the people that we care for, they would take anything you'd offer them, to get out of the situation that they're in, and they make choices every day that are sometimes unsafe, that are sometimes not the best thing. But if we want people to live a different kind of life, we have to treat them like they're deserving of a different kind of life. And that is the beautiful vision that we have for Jeremiah Community, is to be able to create a place where people who sometimes have never been told that they're worthy of anything have a place to live, that we can begin to build back that dignity and the healing can begin.
Just to be able to give them that dignity and to show and to be... For them to know that these plans are, you're going forward with these plans, and that this is something on the horizon has to be just giving a lot of people right now hope.
Yeah. It is, so I sit every Sunday with a group of folks who are current or formerly homeless for Street Church, and we've talked a lot about this vision in different sense. And what I like to think is happening is it's beginning to give them a voice and a perspective for what's possible. And one of the things, so I realized yesterday, I've been with Micah for 17 years. And so...
17? I remember when you first... I remember when you and Larry Hahn came in here and did one of the first shows.
Yeah. And so as of yesterday, I've been with Micah for 17 years. And I think one of the things that has been most profound in my life is I have learned so much more from people on the streets than they will ever learn from me. And it is, and I really want to create a place where the rest of the community can experience that. Because I think so many times we're focused on, let's get people out of the way, let's keep them from affecting our everyday life. But if we can create a place where people that we may have previously been afraid of can live, have purpose, and have meaningful relationships, we can begin to invite the whole community into a whole different perspective on life and the world and our community that maybe they've taken for granted for a long time.
Yeah. We're going to talk much more about this, but just as a little side road, Hesed House, you've had that up and running for about a year now.
Yeah. Hesed House opened in September.
Yeah.
So what's that, a little more than 9 months or so that we've been open, 14 rooms. It's an old hotel that's been renovated to give people a short-term place to stay while we're working to move them to permanent housing. We have, the last I looked, we've had 25 or so people that have gone through there. My numbers are probably a little old there, but, almost everyone who has come through there has left to something permanent. And it has been a really wonderful, it is Jeremiah Community is different than Hesed House because Hesed is temporary, but we've really begun to see the value of when you give people their own space and a key, and you invite them into a community of sorts, what that can ultimately be And we've really begun to learn a lot about what we need to think about as we build Jeremiah community.
And that's what I was wondering, because I remember when we talked about Hesed House last summer and last fall when it was starting, and you talked about how this whole idea, again, this was another new idea that kind of got sprung on you, and the space became available, and you you changed it. And you remember you saying this is going to be really a good testing ground to see if they're here, can they transition to something else?
Yeah. Well, and it's, you know, there's so many like little things. Like we have a nurse that comes there, and she, the ability for her to like walk around and knock on everybody's door and just kind of check vitals and, you know, ask if there's like any kind of medical things that are coming up. Like you can't do that when people are in scattered places.
Yeah.
At least meaningfully. The 4th of July is this week, and our staff that's there have planned a cookout for the people that are staying there to come and be able to do those kinds of things that
neighborhoods do.
You can't do the things neighborhoods do that you can't do in a scattered way. And the reality is that our folks are under-resourced and don't necessarily always have the ability to create those spaces for themselves. And so if we can create the spaces and invite them to lead us into it, then it's all the better.
No, that's just been, it's been so great to see how that has worked and flourished. Mm-hmm. And you just look at so many things as the Jeremiah things that you have done that have worked and have kind of led you to be able over the years to make Jeremiah community a reality. I think of a few years ago, you know, getting people into at Christmas time into spaces, and just so many of these things you've been able to do and refine, and now Jeremiah community really is going to be the thing that you have talked about and worked for, and you've got a lot of experience in knowing what will work the best.
Yeah. Well, you know, I joke sometimes like that best practices are best practices because someone practiced them, and we tend to be on the I guess it's the early adopter end of things that we'll jump out and try anything that seems to make sense. But ultimately, I really think a lot of the things that we have done have emerged because we have listened to the people that we are caring for. And they are will always know more about what they need than we will. And some things we've done have not worked, but we've learned from them.
Yeah.
And we've pivoted because of that. And I think the ability to jump into things neck deep and try it and pivot, you know, is just kind of how it makes it work. And our ability to say, oh, that didn't work, let's try it this way, has kind of gradually gotten us to the place that we are now. And there's plenty of things that we still don't have figured out. But the ability to be, as some would say, semper gumby in the face of a really monumental community issue is what gets us where we need to be.
No, I look back at when COVID started, and there was just so much unknown of what in the world, how can we meet people, how can it be safe, and a myriad of things that you've been able to navigate.
Yeah, well, you know, like there were many places across the country that their homeless services people, they went home with everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this moment sometime middle of the pandemic where I went to a big city and I was like, because we had been sheltering everybody we knew in hotels for 2.5 years. And I went to a big city and I was like, why is everybody outside? Because I just assumed everybody did what we did, and that's that we just decided we were healthcare workers like everybody else, and we couldn't go home.
Yeah.
It took me a long time to realize that not all communities did that, but we did, and it was a really stressful time, but it was a really profound time in our community that we realized we could be a community where no one's lived outside.
And that happened. And that was, and when, and then when it started working, and the continuum of care kind of came together. Just a lot of things over the years, like you say, have changed, or things have been tried, and there's so much more collaboration now, even than the first time when we first started talking about Jeremiah Community.
Yeah.
Of where you can, you can do this now, and you're not all by yourself.
Yeah.
It's not,
yeah.
That's Micah's thing, and it is Micah's thing, but you've also got a lot of other partners.
Sure. No. Well, I you know, I like to think, you know, Mike has been a catalyst for helping people see things that otherwise seemed way too complicated to solve. And I do think it's true that a lot of community partners have come around that vision and that that understanding that we could take really complex people, put them in houses, provide support, and they could get to the point of living a flourishing life, and that could reduce their hospitalizations. It could reduce their interactions with the police. It could actually save our community money in a practical sense.
Yeah.
When you bring resources around people in a context that makes sense for them.
It is Micah Ecumenical Ministries this morning, MicahFredericksburg.org. All kinds of information there about what they do and how you can get involved. Also on Facebook, too, a lot of real current things going on and how you can get involved. Megan Cotter here. We're talking mainly this morning about Jeremiah Community. When we come back, we'll talk about what's up next, because the City Planning Commission is next, and things are happening with Jeremiah Community. We'll continue to talk about that when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:29.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting station focused on Fredericksburg. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Megan Cotter here this morning from Micah Ecumenical Ministries, MicahFredericksburg.org. Jeremiah Community is about to really be, I mean, after you and I and you talking about it in the community and talking about it, it's been talked about now for in any time there's a special program or anything going on in town with Micah, this often comes up. Now you go to the Planning Commission, and now it becomes like really real.
Yeah, it's been real, but it's going to get real to everybody else now. Yeah, so we go to the Planning Commission next Wednesday. We'll for the first time present our rezoning, and it's a public hearing.
Yeah.
So anyone who wants to come and speak, ideally in favor of our project, can come. You get 5 minutes to speak, and it's an opportunity to you know, let the city know how folks are feeling about it. And I think we have a lot of our neighbors who've overcome homelessness that will come and speak. We have a lot of community partners. There's a number of different people in 22401 that will come and speak. But it's a really great opportunity to come and really help our decision makers to know how important it is to the community that we build a home for our neighbors.
This is a big deal, because this gets it going, and you think about a lot of projects over the years in the city that people have gotten all worked up about, and you know, this area has to have, and this should be one of them. When you talk about that, this is really big.
Yeah. Well, and you know, like, summer is a time where homelessness is very visible in our community. Mm-hmm. The cold weather shelter's not open. There's a lot of people downtown and the parks, whatnot, and it's always a time of year that people are like, are we doing anything about homelessness? And the truth is, yes, like, a lot of us work really hard all day long, all year long, to create solutions. But the thing that we don't have is, as one of my board members would say, is doors. We don't have places for people to go. And that is fundamentally what Jeremiah Community is about, is giving people a place that they can live, have purpose, and grow meaningful relationships, and not just sweep them up as many cities across the country are doing, and put them somewhere, but to give them a meaningful place to live where we can work with them on the things that they need to work on in order to live a flourishing life.
The location, is it? I've always thought it's over by Sunshine Ballpark and over in that area.
It is directly behind the Central Park townhomes before you get to the Sunshine Ballpark.
Okay.
There's actually 31 acres back there. We're developing less than 20 of that. It's a steep topography and whatnot. But yes, it's right there situated between 95 Central Park Townhomes in the Sunshine Ballpark.
Okay, so Wicklow Drive and then that.
Yeah, right off Wicklow Drive.
In that area. That's a nice area, too, and you're near, there's a Fred Bus.
Yeah, Fred Bus stop. Is there. Our neighbors have been involved with, we have a plot at the community garden that's up there.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, and one of the things that I think has been really interesting as we've gotten to know the neighborhood up there, we've learned a lot of things about what their needs are as well, and we have even adapted our project a little bit so that some of the things that we are planning to build, such as a health center, can benefit anybody who lives up there, and really can be something that actually helps lift up that whole corridor.
I never thought of that, but this is more than just Jeremiah community and what you're doing, because there's been a lot of work done over the years by a lot of groups in that area.
Yeah.
That everybody can benefit from this.
Yeah, and I think that, I mean, the Jeremiah passage is, you seek the welfare of the city in which you're planted, because in its welfare you'll find yours. And I think there's a lot of truth to that I've really appreciated as we've gotten to know some of the neighbors up there and talked about our project, but also heard what's on their hearts and what's stressing their community as we seek to be a neighbor in that community.
So as things go, and government never works, you can put a timeline and you're dealing with government, but the way it's supposed to work is the planning committee, you go to the planning commission, and then it eventually gets to city council. So looking at a calendar and all, do you have at least a best case scenario? and again, government, somebody finds something and come back and, you know, you resubmit things or you change things. But could this be something that there's like a groundbreaking later in the fall?
So I'm the wrong person to ask about timelines, because I'm like I'm the most aggressive timeline you could possibly be. But like a best case scenario, the planning commission would vote. The city, there's no meetings at the end of July, early August. So, the planning commission has a year to act on it. We hope they don't take that long.
Right.
I don't know why they would take that long.
Yeah.
But it could be to city council by fall. And then the idea would be it will take us several months to go through the site planning process. And so, you know, maybe a best case scenario would be that we could break ground, say, early next year.
Yeah. Okay. So
that's aggressive.
That's something to shoot for. Because government, you just never know how government works.
You know, it's worth saying, you know, the one of the things that's going to allow us to keep the momentum going is the resources from the community that come alongside to make that possible.
Yeah.
And so we've started to collect pledges from significant givers. Some folks may have seen Mary Jane O'Neill made a initial pledge of $250,000.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can get a matching gift of $250,000, she'll give us another $250,000. And so we're looking right now to gather pledges so that when we get that yes, we can get up the next day and know who we need to call in order to start collecting the resources we need to keep moving through the site planning process, the groundbreaking, and so forth.
Two things. Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up, because that there are funds and there's money needed for that.
Yeah.
And that's where the community can get involved. And again, this is one of those situations where anything is welcome. If you can give a little, give a little. If you can give a lot, give a lot.
Yeah, and it's we definitely need major givers, and that's really the biggest thing we're looking for right now. But the beautiful thing of Jeremiah Community is we want it to be something that everybody feels like they can be a part of.
Yeah.
Whether it's $2,500 or $25 or $250,000, you know, we really want people to feel like they can have their part in building a home for our neighbors.
And that's from just to get to this point, because I can remember a few years ago when you had had kind of a kickoff thing of this and talked about it over at Herb Camp Park. And it just seemed like such a big number. And I can remember as it went on, you saying, you know, the community's responding and people are responding, and people have responded enough to get to this point.
Yeah, they are. And I think people are getting excited about it. People are inspired that we've stayed the course despite kind of some pretty significant obstacles. And Ted, you've heard us say this before, but I truly believe that the resources to build a home for our neighbors are in this community. It's still in people's pockets right now. Mm-hmm. But we really believe this is a God-sized project. And if we can just get some of those resources in God's bank account, we'll be good.
Yeah. No, that's a great line. That is a great line. We have the resources that's in your pocket. And it does. It makes you think. I can play a role in this. The other thing that you can't minimize either is the fact of having people show up to a public hearing.
Yeah.
That says a lot.
Yeah.
If you have a public hearing on this, on the 10th, and you've got five people who come and talk about it, that says something. It's the projects I've seen over the years where things get notices when you do have a lot of people.
Yeah.
Come up and from a wide cross section.
Yeah.
So if you're in, and especially, I mean, if you're in 22401, and this is something that did you say, this is good. I like what Mike is doing. This is where your voice is needed.
Yeah, it really is. And I think I don't want people to get a false sense of comfort with their excitement for this project. Mm-hmm. The and that I do think we have a lot of support. But I think if nothing else, this is an opportunity to testify to how compassionate our community is and how much we really desire to be a community where we care for the very least among us.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is, like you say, don't just assume. Well, I think everybody's behind this. This is there really is something to be said, and there are visuals when you can have a lot of people, and even if everyone's saying the same thing, it shows that there's passion about this. And I think too, in just over the years, you had mentioned earlier that you think that a lot of people who are impacted by this and who've been involved with Micah to hear their stories and their testimonies
huge. And I think you'll hear some of those. I think that we have a number of people who've been off the street for many years, some that are recently off the street that I think can speak very articulately to their situations and have a lot to say that I hope that we see with the public hearings. I hope that we see a testament of people that maybe sometimes we never knew existed.
Yeah. Well, and I just think of what the Coldest Night event, what that has become, and just how you all were so surprised at how not only did the community show up physically, but financially.
Yeah.
And you take a look at that kind of thing and you think that could happen again.
Yeah, I know. I mean, if we could have a coldest night showing at the public hearing.
Yeah.
July 10th, they'd probably have to move us to a bigger place.
Right. It would show you. That would be a great testament to the community that people are willing to come out and you know, if they're on vacation, even to come back to speak for that.
Yeah.
And because that when I still can remember the early stages of that and hearing about it, and then all of a sudden seeing the movement and the money started coming in, and it would be great to see that again with something like this.
Right. Right. And I think, you know, this is a opportunity for the whole community to come together around what oftentimes seems like an insurmountable problem. And I think Micah has shown the community time and again that that this is a community that is worthy of being loved and belonging, and we have to create a place that works for them. And that is fundamentally what we're trying to do with that.
I have learned never to say to ever say to you, well, that's insert, you know, you're not, we, if you, no. I have learned.
My parents would say I don't take no very well.
You don't take no, you don't. It's true. But it
just
is
not now.
It has no. It has made the point in this community. Because you mean homelessness is looked upon so differently now in Fredericksburg because of the commitment of you and others at Micah. Yeah. Who have presented it and just said, no, this isn't good enough.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that has to do with that you know, it's easy to talk about or talk disparagingly about people that you don't know. And I think one of the things that people say plenty of things about us, but one of the things you cannot say is that we don't know our people. We do know our people profoundly,
yeah.
And in many ways are like our family. And so, when you're talking to somebody who doesn't know them, and you can begin to tell story after story after story about people that you know deeply, and it begins to slowly transform their perspective, and hopefully they begin to ask questions and think differently about things. And you know, I think we've had plenty of examples, and Hesed House particularly has been a recent example of this, of people who have been you know, lost causes from the perspective of a lot of city people.
Yep.
And when you have a place for them to go, and one day they're rocking out on the corner where all the visitors of Fredericksburg are coming in, and the next day they're not there, and they're staying in a place where they're getting the support they need, and they move to housing, that is something beyond what many people can fathom. But it's actually just that simple.
Yeah. And the Jeremiah community itself, the name Jeremiah is an actual person.
Yeah.
Well, in his story was one about being resistant to any kind of housing. Would he live in Jeremiah community?
Maybe. So, you know, we're all about choice. And
yeah.
I think we will certainly give him that choice. He is. So I guess I should tell the story. But so Jeremiah was a man that lived on our streets for 27 years. He was a graduate of North Stafford High School, was in the military. Something happened along the way that he ended up on our streets, and lived there for a very long time. A lot of people, because of his paranoia and whatnot, a lot of people just didn't think he could be helped beyond that. And during the pandemic, when we had had most of our folks, had everybody we knew in housing or in hotels except for him, we weren't willing to accept that. And we rented a place on Virginia Avenue, and we went every night for 6 months and asked him if he would go. And one night he said yes, and he's now been housed for 3 years. He's got a great support network there in his neighborhood. One of the members of our churches lives next door to him and helps him with a variety of things. And you know, we're not going to do anything to disrupt that, but certainly we'll offer him the choice. If he wants to live in Jeremiah community, he certainly can.
MicahFredericksburg.org. To find out more and get involved with Micah, or check out Micah on Facebook. Megan Cotter here this morning. Jeremiah Community, our focus. We'll take one final break and wrap this up by News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Good stuff this morning with Megan Cotter and Micah Ecumenical Ministries, MicahFredericksburg.org. Again, July the 10th is when this goes before the Jeremiah community. Will first go before the Planning Commission, and we'll see. But like you said, one of the things as you get ready to plan and as you go through the kind of the technical process with local government, you still need money for site plans and all the things that are ahead. And with Mary Jane O'Neill and that that challenge out there, there are going to be some of those things. Give as you can and you know, talk it up to others.
Yeah, I mean, now is a really good time to have intentional conversation with us about pledges, and we are set up to accept gifts and keep those funds separate. The Community Foundation has a fund specifically for Jeremiah Community that where we're putting our funds, and it's earning a little bit of interest in the stock market and whatnot. But the we're at the stage where we really need to know who's behind us, whether it's coming to speak at a public hearing, whether it's giving a major gift and whatnot. And it's a really important time to rally behind this vision. And I've often said that something this unique and this important to a very vulnerable group of people is really going to take every aspect of our community to bring to fruition. And that's where we are. The time is now.
If you're a business and you want to get involved and have your name associated with this, or maybe you don't want, you want to give and do it anonymous, whatever. If you're a business, or if you can give, now is the time. Because like you say, once this gets through the Planning Commission and City Council, it's and you're ready to go, you want to have the money to be able to do it, to not have to say, well, we've got to raise this money in the next year to, you know, but to be able to get going, that's huge.
Right. It is. And like the momentum is the strongest that it's ever been. And we want to keep that going. You know, it's a large project, and I really think that once people begin to see and they can actually walk in a Jeremiah community, it's just going to be something that's really going to move people to want to do more of it.
Yeah. No. The people that get so involved with the Coldest Night and in some of the other projects that Micah has done over the years. There's a real passion there, and you can just see that this is the next step.
Yeah,
and this is exciting.
Yeah, and it's and we're learning a lot, and we learn more when more people come alongside us, and I think there's a lot of opportunity for people to, you know, not just share their voice, not just share what's in their bank accounts, but also to share their expertise in all kinds of different aspects of development.
So. MicahFredericksburg.org, or check out Facebook. You'll see it. You'll see different ways to get involved with Micah. And again, with the hot weather and hot weather coming back, if you can donate, whether it's window units, or water, either of those things, drop them by the Micah Center on Princess Anne Street, and it will be a great help, because we all worry about the winter, but like you said,
Hot weather is just as complicated.
Yeah. Well, thank you. These are exciting days.
These
are exciting and busy days, I am sure, for all of you. MicahFredericksburg.org. Megan Cotter, thanks. We'll talk again soon.
All right. Thanks, Ted.
That is it. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.